This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello again and a very warm welcome to the latest edition of the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. I say a very warm welcome following a very cold affair just a few days ago, which I am very much looking forward to debriefing on. My brother Ollie is back again. Thanks for joining me for another episode, mate.
Yeah, firstly, I think we should apologise to everyone listening. Sorry, we are getting this up a little bit late this week. That is completely my fault. Unfortunately, my dog's not very well at the minute, so for personal reasons, I've been unable to film on Thursday like we normally do. So I'm very sorry that this is going up a day late, but nonetheless, the content's still there. So hopefully you'll still enjoy this listen.
I'm sure they will. We do our rudimentary shout outs at the start of every episode. I'd like to offer one myself, and I'm sure Ollie might have a few up his sleeve that he might want to give. I was on the way back from, I dropped Gaz off in Pompey on Wednesday afternoon after the Accrington game. And we'd obviously driven the whole way home, and Gaz wanted to go and get some trainers. So we ended up in JD on Commercial Road in Pompey. We literally walked from the, because we knew exactly what he wanted for his missus. So we walked from the car straight through Cascade, straight out onto the Commercial Road and just straight opposite into JD. And when we walked in, one of the lads in there, I could just see his eyes lit up. And we carried on, kind of, Gaz asked about the shoe size, we were asking about different ones and whether they had them in stock, and he was scanning them and whatever. I went for a little look around at some of the clothes that they had. And after about 10 minutes of us being there, he looked at me and smiled and went, "I've tried to be really professional, but I really enjoy the videos and I couldn't not say anything to you." So, So that was really nice. And after Gaz had got his shoes and stuff, you know, they're all sort of mic'd up and got headphones on like I have now. The two girls that were standing by the door were beaming from ear to ear when me and Gaz were walking out, because he'd obviously said something that we were there, and they were very nice to us as we left. So, yes, that was nice. And it happened to me in the Whiteley JD Sports a couple of weeks ago, before Christmas, actually, with my mum. So it's becoming more and more of a regular occurrence. So to the lad in JD, a massive thank you for all your support. Was there anyone that you wanted to give a little mention to, Ollie?
Yeah, I'm going to give a mention to Noah Swan. He's an avid listener of the channel. He's one of my friend's sons. Weirdly, he's from Nottingham and they're Notts County fans. But he loves the channel, loves watching the videos, loves keeping on top of it all, loves the content. So, yeah, he's a big fan. And it just so happened he was watching a video the other day, and Adrian messaged me going, "Is your brother 4-0 written all over it? My son loves that show." So, yeah, massive shout out to Noah Swan. Thanks for your support, mate. And I think it just goes to show that the network, you know, although it's aimed obviously towards Pompey fans, it means, you know, it's a good content for more people.
Let's get cracking with the pod then. A massive thank you to everyone who is continuing to enjoy what we're putting together here on the podcast. Your company is, as always, very much appreciated. Remember to add us to your list of podcasts so you receive, a nudge to let you know. It's quite early. You should receive a nudge to let you know when our next episode is out. And remember to tell all your friends that this is a great way to pass the time on a drive, on a walk, or any other task that requires a bit of Pompey and football-related soundtrack. Let's talk about Accrington. What an away trip that was. An absolutely mammoth journey through all sorts of conditions up north for me and the boys during the day on Tuesday. We booked a lovely McCure about 10 minutes from the ground with some really nice facilities. So about 4 p.m. when we're all sat in the sauna chatting about the night to come with a load of other Pompey fans and some fans of the channel as well in there. So great to share the sauna and steam room with some subscribers. Now, we probably went from the warmest we could be to the coldest we could possibly be. And not even the ice shower outside the sauna was as cold as I felt at points during the evening. And I'm sure you've all seen the video. If you haven't, it's well worth a watch. And I should say that the picture we painted in terms of the snow was not the case for the whole 90 minutes. And we did have a good 10, 15 minutes just beforehand into kickoff of blizzard-like conditions, to the point where I was a little bit concerned that any more snow and settling snow might have called the game off. By the time the snow stopped, can't say that. By the time the snow stopped, Accrington were down to 10 men. Pompey were 1-0 up. And that was only the beginning of a bizarre game, Ollie.
Yeah, I have to say it was a weird one. I mean, like you were saying, what a contrast for you guys. Sauna to the ice showers and snow. It was, I watched the video, obviously, and yeah, it looked fantastic. It looked brilliant, to be fair, as an atmosphere. It's nice to see, though, a place that far north that has, you know, the adverse weather conditions provides a roof for the away fans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy.
Written in the stars.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? I mean, we're League One football now. And yeah, the amount of money in football. I think it goes to show that there needs to be more investment into the lower leagues. I know I'm sort of chopping a subject here completely apart, but maybe we could touch on that another point. But yeah, so what, you know, all that travel, all that away trip to stand outside in the snow for 90 minutes. I mean, I'm sure it was a very novel situation initially, but it seemed like a very interesting set of weather conditions. And like you said, I think we took advantage of that in a certain aspect. It definitely was a sending off for the keeper, for them. There's no question about that.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, there was. Yeah, he was just last man lunging at him. Didn't get the ball, got the player. There's no way anywhere else can go. As a keeper, you can't take out a striker when he's through on goal, in essence. There's no one else around him. He is the last man. He's got to go. I don't think he needed to do it. I don't think the keeper needed to do what he did. I don't think he needed to be that far out of his box and that far forward. I think it was reckless and silly, if I'm honest, but I do think it was a sending off.
I'm not trying to play devil's advocate because I completely agree with you, but does the keeper catch Paddy Lane?
I think it's tight. It's hard to see whether he does or doesn't. In terms of the camera angle wasn't particularly good. It's one of those things, isn't it, in football? You know, we've seen it in VAR. What was it, the handball in the City game the other night? That was a very questionable handball. You know, the player's facing away from him. He's jumping in the air. Yeah, his arm's out, but he's jumping, not facing the ball. His arm's not facing the ball. His arm is out well before the player behind him headers it, and he headers it into his arm, and then that's a penalty, which is a bit questionable, if I'm honest, because, in my opinion, the player hasn't intended to play it with his hand. He's just jumped. His arm's there. The ball's gone over him, behind him, and then been headed back into him, and then he's been given a penalty against him for a handball, which seems bonkers because he hasn't played it with his hand. But then you look at it from different angles and it looks different. You know, some looks like it hits his arm, some looks like it doesn't. So I think it's the same in this. You know, we've got one camera angle from a gantry, which is, you know, facing down the line of the run. I think Paddy Lane is intelligent with what he does. I think he leaves himself there to be taken, which is part of football. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it, but it is part of football. The keeper has been late to the ball, has swiped at Paddy after he's got the ball away. He's got an outstretched leg. He's out of control. And I think that's the problem for the referee, is that he's the last man. Paddy Lane has gone down. From the angle of the ref, it's very much looked like he's caught him. From the angle we look at it, it's hard to tell whether he does or doesn't. I think Paddy leaves a leg there to get caught. And the keeper may touch him, may not. But either way, the keeper shouldn't be doing what he's doing. He should never be. You know, I know there's danger in that position, but there's no need for him to be that far out of his box making that kind of a reckless challenge at that point in the game. It's a silly mistake from the keeper. And at the end of the day, it was a sending off. I mean, let's face it, we've had questionable decisions go against us. The goal that was disallowed, maybe.
Not least for the red card that we'll chat about a little bit later on for Joe Piggott as well.
Exactly. To be honest with you, I do think that's a red card as well. I think...
we'll get on to that in a minute. Before we do so, just to say as well, just to clear up what you're saying, the fact that Paddy Lane goes down, whether there's contact or not, the whistle goes... Actually, I don't think the whistle does go, because I think the referee plays the advantage. No, I think the whistle does go.
He does. He blows straight away, although that it actually goes to one of our players who
goes to Rico, and Rico's through.
He bangs it like 10 yards over the bar.
But he's through, and that is the point, is that if the challenge hadn't been made, Pompey would have been in on goal, and there would have been a goal-scoring opportunity, and therefore that seems to be why he's been sent off.
It's not just a goal-scoring opportunity, is it? It is an open goal. For someone running towards it. So it is it's almost a guaranteed goal, or should be. I know that Rico blazed one over the bar when he hit it. Whether that's to do with the ref blowing up or whether he just bashed one over the bar or not doesn't really matter. But it's a last man attempt. It's a last ditch attempt. It's reckless. And for that reason, it's got to be a card. And in those situations when you are the last man, it's a red card. So the refs played it by the letter of the law. For wrong or for right, that's the decision that happened. And, you know, I think that we needed that little bit of luck in our game anyway, to be honest. We've had our run of bad luck, haven't we? What, Rico's goal that got disallowed at Peterborough. You know, those kind of things that have gone slightly against us in the past, where they can, arguably they could go either way. So, you know, I'm thinking that it's one of those parts of football that it's unfortunate, but it's happened. We've moved forward. It's unfortunate for Ackland and Stanley, not for us, obviously. But it's good that we were able to take advantage of that towards the end of the game as well.
Their keeper had just come off a suspension, so he played 10 minutes and then he was sent off for another three games in the league as well. Three really high-quality goals as well, which adds to the Mousinho narrative of high-scoring football at Pompey so far under his tenure. Joe Morel was his ever-consistent self. Solid performance from Sean Raggett too. Awesome strike from Rico as well. Colby Bishop returned to his former club with a goal, which was an excellent finish to take him up to 20 in all competitions in 42 appearances in a Pompey shirt this season. 16 in League One, Ollie, with 20 goal contributions this season. Add 4 assists to those 16. And in the last 10 games, all under John, Colby has 5 goals and 3 assists, which is a fantastic goal return all season. He's in exceptional form right now and will probably be tricky to hold on to in the summer, Ollie. And crikey, we definitely need him for next season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. I think he's been fantastic for us this year. And yeah, we've said it time and time again, he's given a bit of poor criticism from certain people for some reason. I don't quite understand it myself. You know, I think he's been exceptional for us. And we haven't had a striker in a while like him scoring the amount of goals in the season that he is. So he's a massive asset. And I hope, you know, the way strikers are measured these days are goals, isn't it? You know, if you're not scoring goals, then you're not a striker. And that's the way people look at it. So the fact that we've got someone putting 20 goals in a season, I think is fantastic. I think we'll be able to hold on to him, if I'm honest. I think if we put in some good performances between now and the end of the season, I think we can hold on to him, because I think we should be able to convince him that we've got the right investment in the club. We've got the right prospects going forward. We've got the right manager behind us. We had a really good end to the season. If we continue that next year, then obviously we're looking at promotion and he's very much a feature in that squad. That kind of security for a player means a lot. You know, not having to up and move your whole life. You think your missus, your kids, whatever you've got going on, you've got to lift yourself up and move yourself maybe somewhere up north or the Midlands or somewhere you haven't ever been before. And that's the life of a footballer, unfortunately. So if he gets some security in the club and he's got a good, you know, good wage behind him, we may have to pay up and look big a little bit to keep him. But hopefully we make the right decisions to keep the right players, because we can't keep... One thing's inevitable. We can't keep selling our best players at the end of every season. We've done it for so many years now with Clark and... Harness and Lowe, and you know, the list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? The players that will stand out in a season for us disappear the season after, and we end up in the same place with a new good player coming through. Don't get me wrong, like Dale, who replaced Harness, has been fantastic, but we are missing that bit of like consistency in a team that needs to be a few seasons old, used to playing with each other, and you know, ready to attack the season from day one. Not just, you know, let's piece together a side, get a couple of wins and hope for the best.
We've mentioned the shrewdness when it comes to the sending off already, but I thought Paddy Lane was our man of the match on Tuesday night, and not just the assist for the first goal, which is such an inviting ball, but his all-round game was excellent. He's only 22, Ollie, and of the two chances he created, we scored from one of them. Comfortably his best performance since arriving at the club as well.
Yeah, and I think it shows, you know, he's got some pedigree at the age of 22. To win the accolades that he's won already. You know, what a fantastic player he is. And I hope that we've got him in this sweet spot now where we've only had him for, what, 6 months since January. We should be able to retain him in the summer. No doubt there will be some offers.
How much? January, innit?
Yeah, months. I mean, what I mean is to the end of the season when the next transfer window is. So we would have had him for 6 months to that point. And, you know, I feel that after 6 months, are you going to make a decision about leaving a club? Probably not. Not unless something like amazing happens where he gets an opportunity to move to the champ for a big side and he gets a big wad, like big load of wages to go do it as well. So I think that I'll be amazed if he leaves us this summer. But I think if we don't get promoted, he'll certainly be gone the year after, because I think he's too much of a talent, too, you know, he's up and coming, he's young, and he's quite an exciting player. So I think going forward, we'll do well to keep him next year, and hopefully we can push on next season with him in the squad.
Let's chat red cards then. What makes you think that the second one, we've already mentioned the first one. What's your view on the Joe Piggott challenge?
The thing about Piggott's challenge, it kind of annoyed me a little bit emotionally because it's needless. You know, it is absolutely needless at that point in the game, the way the game's gone, they're down to 10 men, you know, we're winning comfortably, we're not looking at any danger. So the issue with Joe's challenge is he leaves the ground. That is the big problem. He doesn't slide into the challenge, he jumps into it. When you're in the air, it looks 20 times worse because you've got no control over yourself. You can't stop. You can't really pull out as much as you want to. You are committed to wherever you land at that point. That is it. So the fact that a player is coming towards him and he's jumped into it, it's dangerous. Simple as that. And there's no two ways about it. He can land on a player. He can land studs first into the player. He's got no control, both feet off the ground. And it's just a stupid thing to do. And the thing that really annoyed me about it was that could have lost us a game. Not lost us a game, but it brings Accrington very much back into the fold at that point. Gives them an opportunity and a boost to start pushing us, and it's completely needless. You know, we keep all 11 men on the pitch and we play sensible, safe football. We win that game every day of the week. I get that we're not there to win safe games of football, but getting sent off in that kind of scenario I think is inexcusable. And I hope that he really has learned from this. I think that Joe is a little bit hot-headed. Piggott, he's very fighty, very battly, which is quite a nice thing to have in a player. Like I like the fact he's very solid. He likes to battle for the ball. He likes to fight, likes to get involved, which is great to see because a lot of players shy away from those sort of challenges. And obviously you want someone fighting for the shirt and fighting for your colours. But there's also an air of, you know, you're an educated footballer. You understand the game. You know the scenario, the situation you're in. They're down to 10 men. We're winning. Don't do anything stupid to get yourself sent off like that. And that was just reckless and silly. So I hope it's one of those blips in his mind where he's just gone, why the hell have I done that? And he moves forward from it. But it was, for me, it's a sending off just because of the way he went about it. Whether he caught the player, whether he tried to pull out or not, is neither really here or there at this point. It's just that, like I said, the fact he left the ground in the attempt of a challenge is just not a good thing. You'd never do that.
What about the fact that he probably gains control of the ball in the challenge? Does that make any difference to you?
No, not for me. No, unfortunately not. I think it's reckless still. If you're playing against that and someone jumps in at you, and even if they get the ball or not, is neither here or there. Because the player the other side might be thinking, God, like if I'm facing that and a player's coming up me both feet off the floor, I'm getting out of the way of it. You know, I'm not leaving myself in the line to be taken out like that. And the other player might very much feel the same way because there's some really bad injuries that you can see coming from that. You know, if he lands on an ankle, all of his weight goes through that ankle, his whole body weight, his momentum, everything. It is a breakable bone challenge. And what? A career ender in certain cases. So I think it was just silly. I think even if he got the ball or not, he just shouldn't have left the ground. If he does the same thing and he slides in along the ground and gets the ball, fine. No problem with that whatsoever. He's got control. If he needs to pull out, if he needs to stop, he can put his studs in. He can try and get out of the way a little bit. He can move himself. But when you're in the air, mate, you got nothing. You can't grab onto anything. You can't stop yourself. You're there.
What about those people that would turn around and say to you, well, actually, you're in a unique situation because the keeper's already on the ground. So, of course, the fact that he's lunging in is going to make the challenge 10 times worse because in any other place on the pitch, that would probably be a 50-50 challenge and he'd go in and perhaps win the ball and we'd go from there. The fact that the keeper's already diving to collect the ball makes it all that more difficult from Piggott's point of view?
Yeah, from the ref's point of view, I think so. But you look at it like the ref had no choice. The ref doesn't have an option there. The keeper is on the ground playing the ball. It looks like Joe is lunging for the ball, trying to get there, and he's not giving up any ground. You know, he's not sat there going, oh, I don't, you know, I can sort of try and win it fairly on my feet, staying upright. He has thrown himself into that challenge. The problem is two players coming together head to head when someone's fully off the ground, there's only one player in control there, and that's the keeper. So there's no doubt, even if the keeper fouled Joel, Joe, it would make no difference. Joe is the one who has lost control in that situation, unfortunately, and that's the problem. That's why he got straight red, and I do believe it is a straight red because you can't be doing that. Imagine if he landed studs up first onto the keeper's knee or something like that. No, that's a horrible challenge, and that's the issue with it. If you're on the ground, you're not going to do that. You're both on the ground, you collide, you were both going for the ball at the same time. It just seems that the keeper's more there. Joe's overreached to make himself get there first. And although he gets the ball or manages to come away with the ball, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that is just, it could cause a horrible injury, and that's what needs to be, you know, taken out of football, really.
Two away trips this week for Pompey Accrington, as we've discussed. And then this weekend, we're looking forward to the relatively shorter journey to Bristol. A dangerous side on their day, Ollie, Joey Barton, and concern surrounding whether Aaron Collins will be available for them. He scored 16 so far this season. And we all know about a certain John Marquis.
Yeah. He scored a few goals recently, hasn't he? Mr. Marquis.
Well, he had a really good game. I know it was at Forest Green, and they're probably going to be relegated within the next couple of weeks or so, mathematically, but he's not been doing too badly recently.
Well, I think we all know that John is a formidable striker in our league, given the right setup. Now, he proved that at Doncaster. He's, you know, a very strong centre forward. He runs well for a game. He battles well for a game. He puts himself in good positions. Unfortunately for us, he never really had the confidence. Whether that be the management not instilling that in him, whether it be the team setup not suiting the way he plays football, you know, all those different things, or whether it be the fans on his back giving him a load of earache and making him feel like he's not good enough, and then that's a drop in confidence as well. Whatever caused those things, he never played for us in the same light as he played for Doncaster. But that player is obviously still in there. You know, he's still got the potential. He's still got the hunger for it, I'm sure. And I think this change for him is going to be very good, moving to a new side away from Pompey. Obviously, that's going to be a massive plus for him to start building that confidence. And if he does, he's going to be a dangerous player to play against. And let's face it, you know, when he left Pompey, he didn't leave under a cloud as such. But I think that he'll be set there to prove some people wrong. And that's going to be a bit dangerous, I think, because if he does come to us wanting to prove a point, then we may be in for a bit of trouble. Equally, on the flip side of that, if he turns up and misses an open goal, that confidence is going to go back through the floor, isn't it? So it's a high risk, high reward game, I think, for John.
Wanting to kind of tempt fate, because he might well score against us, hasn't had a prolific season, really. He scored twice against Forest Green and man of the match for that game, fair play. But other than that, there's a goal away at Burton on the 18th of Feb, but there's very little this calendar year so far in terms of goals. It's 3 and 7 all season.
Yeah.
For a number nine, it's not superb, prolific. Is it?
No, it's not prolific at all, which is why I'm not overly worried, but it's sod's law, isn't it? It's one of those things where we sit here going, oh yeah, he's hardly scored, and look at Colby banging in 20 goals a season. You know, he's scored nearly three times the amount of goals that Marquis has this year. But the reality of it is, Marquis is more than likely to turn up and score a goal against us, and we're all going to be sat there going, for God's sake. I really wish. And it might be the game where Colby misses some sitters and has some great opportunities. You know, it's one of those things, it's the way football is, unfortunately. But he's, you know, I think that John will find himself again. He will come out playing some good football again. I've got no doubt in that. I think the quality is in there for him, as long as he has the right people around him to do that. And although we're saying 7 goals a season isn't fantastic, it's a lot more factors to scoring a goal being a striker. You know, Colby's done exceptionally well for us with the service that he's had so far this year. I think you think about the amount of games we lost and where he is. Like, he's up there with the top goal scorers in our league. And we're not, as a team, anywhere near the top of the league. So he is massively outperforming our side in terms of goals per game. So he's been, that's why I feel like he's such a strong player, because given the right service, he could score a lot more goals at the level he's at. So, and the same goes for John Marquis. You know, if he's not getting the service that he needs to score goals, it's difficult as a striker, isn't it? You know, if you're playing in a setup that doesn't really suit you, or you're playing slightly deeper and you're laying the ball off and you're creating opportunities rather than scoring them, people look at you like you're not doing your job, but the reality is he can't if that's the setup. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, how his you'd imagine that he'd be up for that. You know, you'd imagine that playing an old club after being there for, what was he, about 4 or 5 seasons with us? I think
not quite that long, but yeah, about 150 games for us, I believe. Yeah, 121 games and 36 goals, July 2019 to Jan 22.
Yeah, so he's there for what, 3 seasons. I think he is going to want to prove a point and go, you know what, I didn't deserve to be sold, I didn't deserve to go. I want to stand up in front of these fans and show them what I'm made of. So hopefully, he doesn't, but I think there's an element of danger there for us that we need to be a bit more aware of. But I'm sure Mousinho is going to read that from a mile away. He's not an idiot. He's been playing football long enough. He knows what's going on. He's not exactly new to it. You know, he's going to be very much aware of, and being a defensively minded player that he is, I think that he'll very much instruct the back line on what to do and how to get him out of the game.
Excuse me. The thing that Bristol Rovers probably have got going for them, and Ollie's spoken about the perhaps lack of potency of John Marquis, is Josh Coburn has been superb as centre forward for them since he joined the club, and he's on loan for the season from September. He's got 9 goals in 25 appearances for Bristol Rovers, and probably even more so Aaron Collins, who I mentioned at the start there. Their number 10, 36 games, 15 goals and 11 assists. His most recent goal came against Oxford United in a 3-0 away win back on the 25th of February. He might be one, Ollie, to earmark as more of a problem creator for Pompey than John Marquis, maybe, perhaps. And there's a little bit of concern on whether it's kind of just chat from Barton before the game to try and stifle the opposition in terms of his unavailability or whatever. I'm not quite sure. But having said that, there is still a bit of a dangerous nature to this Bristol Rovers side. They've picked up some results over the last this last season, and they've been pretty excellent in moments, but it very little to play for. Mid table finish for them this season. You know, the run of games hasn't been amazing. 2 wins in the last 5, 2 losses and a draw. So what do you expect in terms of a test from them?
I think, it's one of those where some clubs really thrive because they're playing for pride. And although they're not playing for position, they know they're kind of mid-table. They feel like they want to go and give it a good game to end the season and show for the fans and that kind of a mentality towards it. So, and like you said, they've been a bit streaky, similarly to us. So if they come out and piece together a good performance and we're unable to, we could easily lose that game. It's a tricky one. I think that there's an element of danger there that we need to be aware of, and we need to make sure we got our A game. I mean, from Pompey's perspective, I was doing some stats the other day for the pod, and I went through the last 7 years of League One finalised tables to see the average points position of 6th place. Now, I feel like at the minute we're on 54 points as we stand here today. Obviously, this today being the point we're filming the podcast, not the point you guys are listening to it. So 54 points pre-Saturday. I think we currently need a minimum of 21 points from 30, 10 games to play. I think we need to win at least 7 of those games. Which is a tall order. And even then, I feel like that isn't enough. Looking at the table, last year was a bit of an anomaly. I think it was something like 83 points got promotion. But if you look at the 6 years prior to that, it ranges from 74 down to 69. The average points for 6th place in the last 7 years is 72 point something points. However, if you look at the top 6 this season, they're already closing into that number of 72, and I don't really see them letting up. You know, the amount of games that have been lost so far this year in terms of that top 6 is very tight. You know, they're all in the sort of single figures numbers. I feel like there's a tall order. I reckon we're looking more towards the high 70s for 6th place this season, maybe even up to 80. So in realistic terms, I feel like to get a promotional spot, we need to win every game. 10 games gets us 6 if we win every single game, but we got to win 10 on the bounce. So that is a pressure situation for us as a club.
I'm afraid we're going to have to make this the last little point because I've got to go. Two things I want to say to you. One is you've spoken about 22 points from 30 just then.
21 points from 30.
Wouldn't be enough.
I think that puts us on 75, doesn't it? Which, in my opinion, isn't enough this year.
Bear in mind, John's first 10 games were 20 points from 30 when he came in. And that included games against teams such as Barnsley, Plymouth and Peterborough.
Yeah, I agree.
And Bolton.
I think there's an opportunity for us to get the points we need to get into sixth place. I just think it is a lot to ask. But that also gives us that mentality to go out into games and go, we need to win. There's no question about we can lay off. We can be relaxed about this game. We don't need the points, or we're playing someone who's rubbish and we can kind of go in a bit complacent. We need wins. We need to go out and score goals. We need to go out and batter teams. So, and we're showing that sign of confidence in a lot of games, like we did, 3-1 away at Accrington. We're scoring goals in games 4-0 and 3-1 that we've won again prior to that. I think that we are scoring in every game, even against the big sides. So there's definitely the opportunity for us to get those points, and there's still an opportunity for us to get sixth place. But I think it is a tall order at this point.
There's only been two games where we haven't scored a goal under John Mousinho now, and that's Sheffield Wednesday and Lincoln Lincoln away. Sorry. Last little thing. Tonight is Sheffield Wednesday against Bolton. Now I can see Sheffield Wednesday winning that game. Yep. Should Pompey then go and beat Bristol Rovers this weekend, which I think we're expecting we will, and then Port Vale the following weekend, which again is likely to be a game that we would win on paper. That would then put us 3 points off the playoffs with 8 games to go.
Yeah.
Now, you don't need to be a Pompey fan to think that that team in that position could close that gap in 8 games. I know it's only 24 points that you've got to play with at that point, but this is a little bit like our best case, worst case that we try to do. And I think you've really nicely incorporated that little feature into this last bit. So thank you for that. But in the words of KSI, Ollie, it's not over yet.
No, I agree. I do agree. I think there's an opportunity there, but it's a tall order to get to that point.
Do you think we'll do it?
If I'm honest, I think it's going to be harder than we like to think. I would love to see us. I think if we get 75 points, we've got something to really be proud of. And we've got a really strong opportunity next year. That's what I think. I'm not going to say yes or no because it's a difficult one. And my blue tinted glasses are saying yes. My brain is saying, Ollie, don't be so stupid. So I kind of feel it's on the fence. I'm on the fence. I'm going to sit on that fence and I'm not going to make a decision.
Score for Saturday?
2-1 Pompey. Tight game.
Like it. I'll go with that as well. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week for another 4-0 Written All Over It podcast where Ollie might be a little bit more excited about the prospects for our season. Keep the faith. And as always,
play up Pompey.